Committee now apparently is just called facilities. I used to say highway parks, golf, so now when they put the committees together, I'm gonna still call it that.
The May meeting?
We have welcomed everyone. We have four new committee members. And we have three of them here this evening. I asked Ray to ask the staff when we go around, we're gonna have introductions this evening, so that those of you that are new here know exactly who's sitting at the table here and what they do for the county. So we have, our roll call is Bill Grady was unavailable. He's excused this evening. And I believe we, the only one we do not have here then is Steve Bostrom. Our youth and governance is not here this evening. And that's something that you folks will learn about. I maybe know about the youth and governance program where we have two high school students that sit on the committee and have an advisory vote on the committee, and they are here at this point. So we will move on to, that's the roll call. Approval of the minutes, we don't have minutes in our packet that I saw.
I emailed them. I inadvertently missed them in the packet. Would you like a copy?
Well, we've got really no one here from the committee that would be available for that. So we'll do it next month. We'll do those next month. Chairman, committee members, supervisors, youth and governance comments. Basically, what we're gonna do this evening is, as I said, we're gonna have introductions of the staff here that does all the heavy lifting, and then the committee members. The meeting will be the same as any committee meeting. Anything that you need to know or any questions that you have, you go through the chair. It is,
Can I stay on your chair?
We change each month so that somebody gets to go home early. We'll do highways sometimes first, we'll do parks, we'll do facilities. But this is one of the busiest committees, or probably the busiest committee of the county board. And that is because it puts its eye on so many things when you consider the highways, the parks, the golf courses. Facilities are all the buildings that the county owns. And so that puts us also in charge of any construction that goes on. When we buy property downtown that we've done the last couple of years when we're doing the new parking lots, the Brookside project, this committee is going to be overseeing. So it's quite busy. You'll be here longer than you will be at county board meetings. Not like it's gonna be 4 hours, but an hour and a half, 2 hours compared to some of the recent county board meetings, or rather 10 minutes. But this is, you'll find it quite interesting. This is a committee that, again, the heavy lifting is done by this staff. So I'm gonna begin with going around the board, and then I'll go to citizens' comments. So I'm Dennis Sullivan. I'm the chairman of the committee. I'm the county board supervisor from District 23, which is Randall and Twin Lakes. And we'll just go around this way. Clement.
My name is Clement. I'm the assistant director of highways. Assistant Gary. Basically, we do highways projects and. Yes, basic highway projects. Yeah.
Hello, my name is Jill Gilmore, and I am the supervisor for the 18th district, which includes the western part of Bristol, western, and the south side of 50, all the way into Pleasant Prairie and to Easy. So it's kind of a little jagged district. I'm glad to be here.
Hi, my name is Jeff Wambold. I am the supervisor for the 17th district, which encompasses most of, it's in Pleasant Prairie, would be the northern part from Highway 50 to about 91st, give or take, from, let's just say, the interstate to about Cooper. But there's some other pockets in there, but that's the gist of it. So glad to be here. Thank you.
I'm Gary Sipsma. I'm the Director of Division of Highways for Kenosha County, and also have the title of Highway Commissioner. Basically, the highway division is responsible for three different types of roads, primarily the county trunk highway system. We are responsible for the maintenance, the engineering, and the construction on the county trunk highway system. We also provide just maintenance services for the state trunk highway system and for the interstate. We do that on a contractual basis to the state of Wisconsin. We are, or the county is paid on a time and materials basis to provide those services to the state, and maintenance being like plowing, mowing, pavement and shoulder repair, that type of thing. We also provide services to some of the towns on some of the town roads for Paris, town of Paris, town of Brighton, town of Wheatland, town of Randall. We provide maintenance services for them. Also on a contractual basis where we're paid on a time and materials basis. So we work closely with the other municipalities. We work very closely with developers to try to assist them in developing business, residential sites, that type of thing. So a lot of activity, and got a very good staff of employees that really proud of the services that they provide.
I'm John Rudy, the Parks Director for 2 more months. I'll be retiring.
So that, I guess, brings it to me, Matt Collins, the Assistant Parks Director. So I'll give more of it.
For 2 months.
For more than 2 months is correct. So
maybe.
Cross my fingers. Yeah. No wood available to knock on. But I was brought in June of last year as Assistant Parks Director with the intention of being a successor to John Rudy. And I come from Milwaukee County Parks previously to that. And I can just say it's just been such a pleasure to get to know everyone as far as our internal team and working alongside all of our elected officials on the numerous projects that happen within our 8 parks through Kenosha County. And I've been just trying to be a sponge and absorb as much as humanly possible from John and his almost 42 years of service to Kenosha County. So it's just been a pleasure and definitely a joy to work alongside him. And he's built a wonderful team of 5 full-time employees. We have about 50 seasonals in the peak of our summer to really give what should be nationally recognized parks. They're beautiful, and we take a lot of pride in what we do on a day-to-day basis. So it's just my job to be in that leadership standpoint and try to give my staff whatever is needed to continue to deliver that quality of life to all our residents.
I'm Ray Arbit, the Public Works Director for the county, so I pretty much coordinate the activity that takes place between highways, parks, golf, facilities, and Development Services Group, which reports to a different committee. John and Gary, they're both very understated guys, but combined there's about 80 years of experience that are going to be walking out the door this year. Matt, as he indicated, was brought on about a year ago. Clement was brought on about not quite 6 months ago.
Yeah,
and the goal is for Clement to is being groomed as a successor to Gary, and Matt, as he indicated, is a successor to John. I think we're fortunate to have both those guys, and fortunate that we were able to do a succession, a true succession plan, and not kind of the typical government knee-jerk kind of thing. Somebody's gone, now we got to replace them. We're doing a really smooth transition. A big part of my role is to identify things that make sense to coordinate and collaborate between Public Works so we don't have duplication of efforts on things. We've got a number of, I'll call them strategic kind of initiatives going on right now where we're doing some fairly sophisticated leadership development training for all of the senior level managers. And then we've got some more really nuts and bolts team building training that's going on with within the highway division specifically. We're going to be introducing lean concepts here shortly. I've worked extensively in the private sector in operations in a number of manufacturing jobs as well as in this, so I kind of bring a little different flavor to the whole operation. In addition to that, I do a lot of project management, so I do a lot of technical and larger project management, like the Brookside project, that one I'm responsible for, and there's a number of others that I work with all the departments on, providing a little technical background too, so that's pretty much what I do. Thanks.
I'm Wendy Epping, and I'm the administrative assistant for all of Public Works.
Blake Schrant, I'm the facilities manager. My responsibilities are the day-to-day operations of facilities. I've got 32 maintenance personnel and custodians working for me. Other than that, I basically do mid-level projects and mostly insurance for documents.
I'm Dan Dreyer. I'm the general manager for the Division of Golf. I run Brightondale Links, which is 45 holes. It's on the western northern part of the county, and also Petrifying Springs, which is 18 holes. It's on the northeast part of the county. So we have 63 holes of golf. We have two maintenance departments, two restaurants, and two golf shops. We do about 100,000 rounds of golf a year, so we service a lot of the county constituents and also trying to get people from all over to come and play our golf courses. It's been a great ride since I've been here. This is my eighth, going into my eighth season. We just got ranked number 8 in the state for public golf facilities out of 609 golf courses in the state. So Brightondale White just did that. And Petrifying Springs is the best of Kenosha County for the last 3 years. So really have a great staff. I have about 100 people that work with me at the peak of the season. And, you know, they all take a lot of pride in their work, you know, do a lot of hiring and training at this time of year. Busy really all year with projects, the short-term and long-term planning for the golf courses. Trying to keep everything moving forward, getting better and better and better. You know, we've come a long ways since the pencil and paper T-sheets when I arrived to having the POS systems and everything that we have going now. Currently, we're working on an upgrade for our irrigation system on the Blue Spruce golf course. We just put in a deep well at Brightondale. We just had to do a whole Emerald Ash tree removal project at both places. So we're cleaning up after that. So a lot of things happening. You know, hopefully things are going to continue to get better. I was really, really floating and still very proud that we were named number 8 in the state. You know, I from where it was when I got here and the comments that we had gotten to where it is now is just worlds of difference thanks to, you know, the support of the county board and especially the county executive and his guidance and Ray's guidance. You know, we really are pushing forward to get better and better. So very happy to be here too.
Thanks, Dale.
I'm Frank Martinelli. I'm the engineering project manager for facilities department. Facilities department takes care of all the buildings and the grounds. Some of the larger projects that I've done has been the historic restoration of the courthouse and administration building, the expansion of the administration building parking lot. Those are some of the more visible ones, but a lot of what we do is behind the scenes too, and you'll see it by our agenda items, you know, generators, things that you never think about, and hopefully you never have to because we've taken care of it. So it's anything, usually larger scale projects and within the facilities department.
My name's Jim Kupfer, and I'm the CFO for Public Works. I've been in accounting for 40 years.
in both private and public accounting. And really, I guess my job working with the staff here is to make sure that Public Works delivers all the projects on a cost-effective basis that you guys on the county board and the county executive and administration decide that is what we need to do for the citizens of Kenosha County. So we spent a lot of time budgeting. You guys will become really good at it. Staff here is very good. The biggest project we have going on now, I think somebody said Brookside, it's a $20 million project. Other than that, our budget here we handle most of the capital spending for the county goes through this committee. I think Chairman Elverman said that it's 15, 16 million bucks. We got $20 million worth of operating expenses. We're not the biggest division within the county, but we're big. And there's a lot of moving parts. So I'm not speaking for everybody. We look forward to working with you guys. Welcome to this committee, and we'll be happy to help you with whatever you guys need.
John O'Day, District 9, which encompasses, butts up to Pleasant Prairie. On the east side would be Tremper, north side would be Highway 50, and then Cooper Road in the city, basically, southwest side. I've been on this committee before. I think we have a great deep bench here, and correct me if I'm wrong, you have over like 35 buildings to maintain in the county. That was a shock to me when I found that out early on. But you do a great job on it, and we had a lot of catching up to do years ago, and it really caught up.
Rose Carrillo, I'm the governance member from Indian Trail High School.
I'm Eddie Carando. I'm a senior at La Stocha Central High School out in Salem. I actually live in Pleasant Prairie, and I'm wrapping up my second term.
John Franco, County Board Supervisor, 13th District, which includes the area roughly from 154th Avenue to 88th and 60th and 75th Street. Glad to be here.
So, just as we do in any meeting, we will now start with the different divisions, and we have tonight Frank's first. Deep facilities. All of it. Yeah.
Citizen comments.
I forgot. We
don't
usually
do this.
Yeah, we do usually have it. Citizens' comments, I said, would be after that introduction. So anybody that would wish to address this committee would have 5 minutes to speak on any subject pertinent to any of the things that this committee does. All we ask is that you give your name and address, and do we have any citizens that wish to speak? Yes, sir.
I'm John McCabe, live at 911-560th Ave, Bristol. I'm on the village board for Bristol. I'm a trustee. I'm here to support the resolution we passed for the speed limits on Highway Q.
Thank you. Any other citizens that wish to speak? If not, anybody? Yes?
I'm Marilyn Garbarino, address 14201 104th Street, Kenosha. And my husband and I are here this evening because we also would like to support the change in the speed limit on our road.
Thank you. Any other citizens that wish to speak? Yes, sir.
My name is Wes Kea. I also live on 104th and would also like to support the lower speed limit.
Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
My name is Dan Palmer. I live at 14002 104th Street, which is County Q. And I am the author of the original petition that was directed to Bristol Town Board in order to turn it into a resolution so we could bring it to the county board. Can I give a speech?
Actually, there's probably not a need to. I mean, it's up to you, but if you have noticed, it's on our agenda in the form of a resolution.
Yes.
So there's no need to try to...
Persuade us
because our highway commissioner has done his study, and he'll explain these studies later. But if that study's been done and it's come to this committee in a resolution, then it's actually pretty well set.
then I will refrain from doing that.
Right.
I am also in favor of it being approved.
Thank you. Any other citizens' comments? If not, citizens' comments are closed, and we'll go on to Frank Martinelli, Facilities Projects.
Again, welcome to the new committee. I'll do a little bit of background for the new members. The KCC, the Kenosha County Center, this building, actually, if you look over there, that's the highway repair shop. Just in back of that, we've got a huge roof that's over the highway department where all the trucks are, the highway garage. It's 107,000 square feet. Is a very large roof, and we had a study of all the roofs done by a consulting company that specializes in roofs throughout the whole county, and they prioritized them from worst to best, and that one really came out of the top. We were looking at $500,000 project there. As a team, we worked together to get the engineering done last year so that we could get the bids out on the street right at the first of the year, when all of the roofing companies had their books wide open. And we had 15 roofing companies show up for the bid walkthrough, which is really, really a great turnout. And we got some very aggressive pricing. And the local company in Racine, Carlson Roofing, won the project with a $302,000 bid. And they're right in the process of doing it right now. It's a ballasted roof, and as of today, with just the roofing part of it, they're about 50% complete. They started on April 14th. We've lost some days due to rain and wind, but they're overall doing really well. We've got some metal work. We're doing a few improvements from the original design. We've had problems with leaks for years, so we're trying to improve upon the previous design, and we're looking to wrap that up by mid-June at the latest. We're hoping to come in earlier than that on this project. Any questions from the committee on this?
Ray told me there's some birds nesting down on this end that they're trying to stay away from right now.
Exactly. Actually, the crane over the weekend.
The Sand Hill crane hatched.
Well, that heck with it.
Yes. There was a Sand Hill crane that nested, and it was very sensitive because the guys were working on that side of the roof Friday afternoon, and the birds got pretty nutsed up, and then they backed off, and the bottom line, it hatched this weekend, so it's all good.
Cool.
Pretty rare event.
We actually, it worked out to, we had them start at the other end of the roof when they started on the 14th, and slowly worked their way down, and the timing worked out. We just had that little bit on Friday, and we kind of reorganized the way they were doing it, so they weren't both, or all of them at the edge. And it all turned out great. It crane hatched, so that little guy's running around.
Hallelujah.
The next item is the fire alarm system replacement project for the courthouse. The courthouse, being a historic building, the codes have changed for the fire alarm. The fire alarm panel was getting old, and replacement parts were getting harder and harder to come by. It's becoming obsolete. The codes have changed now, and there's an atrium when you walk in. And with the atrium, with the state of Wisconsin, the codes have changed. It can't just be a horn and anymore. It has to be an announcement system. So speakers have to be put in place of where there is horns now. So that's the whole system, again, was getting obsolete, needs to be replaced. It's very involved with all the different rooms, all the different courtrooms. So we had extensive engineering bid package done, and even the bidders said the bid package was really good. So we just got the bids in Friday. They came in, winning bid was about 10% higher than our budget of $180,000. So we're vetting the bid right now, making sure it adheres to all the technical specs, and we're also going to be working with finance to take a look where it's possible to get the additional funds to do this. questions, I can move on to the PSB generator replacement. The public safety building, the original public safety building, the generator there, again, going, it was the early 80s, and that generator starting to get to the point where parts are a little hard to get, replacement parts. So we're doing the engineering to replace it. What we found out is where the generator is now doesn't meet code for all the distances between the panels and between the walls. And we looked at it every single which way, what we could do, having a remote radiator system. We just could not put another generator in that space and meet code. Plus, we're looking at all the additional loads of the building now, and we'll get to the next item, the second floor, that we're going to be building out. So we wanted to make sure that we did a really good job of sizing it correctly for any future loads, and also putting in a place that met code. So we're still doing the engineering on that. We're still hopeful to get the bid out by the end of May. We're just trying to tie up some loose ends on some additional loads with the building. Brings me to the last item on the agenda, the public safety building second floor project. The PSB, we put the addition on the PSB 5 years ago?
2010, yeah.
Yeah, 6 years ago. So the second floor was left empty for future expansions, future use. So at this point, on April 11th, we had meetings with all the stakeholders for that building and for that space. It involved the sheriff, emergency operations center, EOC, joint services, a medical examiner, gathered all of them together to have them express their needs for that space and to get a handle on what those needs would take space-wise. From that, meeting with the architects, Zimmerman, who actually designed the addition, they're looking at the actual space that's available, and they've taken that information back and digested it, and we're going to be having meetings coming up later this week and next week to further refine the space needs and the space that's available between all these different, and what synergies can be used between the different departments. So that's the step we're at right now.
So nothing original is going to go in there? It's going to either be coroner's office from the job center or records, or is there something new or original going in that space?
You're right, the medical examiner has to get out of the hospital. Their lease is up, so that's being moved. That's part of it. There's also needs from the sheriff's department. A big part of this is the emergency operations center, which has been, I don't know if you've ever had a chance to see it. It's the basement, but it's a tiny room. And when they have all the people in there, it's really, it's overwhelming. So they really need a new space. There's no real new players other than the ME coming in, but the emergency operations center is a big part of this.
Thanks.
That's it for my end.
Very good. Any questions for Frank? Thank you, Frank. We'll move on to Gary, Highways.
First item we have is an ordinance to change traffic controls and specifically speed limits on Highway Q, all of Highway Q, from Highway U to Highway 45. I gotta apologize. I normally always put location maps in my in the packets, and I see I didn't do that, but hopefully we can get through this. I received a copy of a resolution from the Village of Bristol Board requesting Kenosha County conduct a speed study on Highway Q from Highway U to Highway 45. Their concern is a number of traffic safety issues involving both the speed of vehicles and some of the geometrics of the highway also. Accompanying the resolution is a petition from the that was presented to the village board in support of lowering the current speed limit, which is 55 miles per hour to 45 miles per hour. So with that, I just wanted to explain a little bit, a couple of the things that the county can and cannot do with speed limits, and a lot of this applies to other traffic controls too, but there's really only one thing that you cannot legally do, and that is arbitrarily determine what a speed limit needs to be. You can't just pick a number and say that's what it's going to be, pass an ordinance, and have it established. You can do that, but every single person that would get a speeding ticket could go to court and have their ticket thrown out, because a speed limit on a county trunk highway must be determined by a speed study, not by a just an arbitrary picking of a number. So there's a couple of things that would apply to this particular request. One would be the a speed study to determine what the legal speed limit should be established at, and the other is Wisconsin statutes. And the reason why the Wisconsin statutes become important on this particular road is because it is within the municipal boundaries of a village. It's when a county trunk highway is within the municipal boundaries of a village or city, different criteria apply to establishing speed limits. So there's like two components to this this particular request. From the speed study standpoint, we did a couple of things. One, we took a look at the accident history on the segment of road, and while the number of accidents weren't outstanding, I think what was a little bit concerning to us is the trend, and the trend being, if you looked at the total accidents on the segment of Highway Q, for example, in 2010 there were 4 accidents, in 2011 there were 4 accidents, in 2012 there were 12 accidents, in 2013 there were 9, in 2014 there were 11, and in 2015 there were 14. So not a smooth line increase, but an increase nevertheless, and that's not what we like to see on highways. We would prefer to see a trend where they become safer, not higher numbers of accidents. The second thing we did was we actually did a speed study. We put our detection device out on Highway Q in the 4400 block of Highway Q, which is more or less midpoint, maybe a little bit further east than the midpoint, but regardless, we thought it was a good spot to set up the detection equipment. It's very stealthy. Most people, in fact, I don't think anybody would ever know that it was even there. It's just a couple of very tiny tubes that we put across the road. But anyways, it detects the speed of every single vehicle that travels on the road. We put it out there for 7 days. I think if you live out there, what I'll tell you is something you already know, and it's something that we see on a number of highways in this vicinity of the county, is that the morning peak hours between 6 and 8 a.m. and the evening peak hours between 4 and 6 p.m., the speeds were extraordinarily high. The...
Can you say what they are? Extraordinary? What does that mean?
I have all the statistics, but you're looking at... like between, say, 60 and 61 miles per hour, 11% of the vehicles were going that fast. There's like 2.6 were going between 66 and 70. There's which in numbers translates into like 76 vehicles, 71 to 75, there's 21 vehicles. Between 76 and 80, there were 8 vehicles. And between 81 and 85 miles an hour, there were 2 vehicles. And that's just an example of one day. But that kind of gives you an idea. One of the things that we look at in determining speed limits is, and this is in the traffic engineering world, the standard as to what an appropriate speed limit would be is the, it's referred to as the 85th percentile speed, which means that 85% or less of all the vehicles travel at that speed. And on Highway Q, that 85th percentile speed was 60 miles per hour, which is really, really high for, I mean, on a road that's posted 55, you would expect to see that at 55 and below, and to have it at 60 is really, really high, even under circumstances.
So you're saying it's higher because it's not posted there,
It's not posted, right. It's 55. Miles per hour.
I did have a question on that. When it's not posted, is that automatic that it's 55?
Yeah, by state statute, any road, county trunk highway is 55. So, basically a little bit out of control from a speed standpoint. So that was our findings on the two study elements that we did. Now, as far as applying state statutes to a county trunk highway within the limits of a village, there is speeds recommended based on the rural characteristics of the highway, mostly having to do with driveway spacing, and this particular segment of Highway Q is referred to in the state statutes as an outlying district, and they actually have an established speed limit of 35 miles per hour on a county trunk highway in an outlying district. However, also in the statutes, you are only allowed to adjust a speed by no more than 10 miles per hour. So basically what's that, from a statute standpoint, the speed limit should be established at 45 miles per hour. From a traffic study standpoint, I think that 45 is going to be a little bit difficult to expect real good compliance to traveling at that speed, but I also think that something needs to be done because it's basically out of control out there. It's out of control more than I've seen in a long time. And I think that if this is a step that helps address that, I think it's something that we certainly should move forward with. So I would recommend that we that the committee approve the ordinance lowering the speed limit from 55 to 45.
Do you have anything else to add on that?
No.
Okay, we've got an ordinance before us to lower the speed limit on Highway Q in the village of Bristol. Any discussion from the committee? If not, can I have a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion by Supervisor Wamble.
Second.
Second by Supervisor Gilmore. Discussion. You have the ordinance, all those in favor?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you, Gary. Well, there's going to be a page coming around for signing. And be sure to mark how you vote.
The second item I have is a resolution, and the resolution before you tonight is to support a proposed Kenosha countywide bicycle route and guide signing project in the Wisconsin Department of Transportation Transportation Alternatives Program. Basically what this is Kenosha County has a comprehensive bike plan where there are routes established throughout the county that are used, are becoming much more popular. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation has a funding program that would fund the installation of signing along these established routes. This program is a statewide program. It's highly competitive. We tried 2 years ago to obtain this funding, and us, like a lot of other communities, did not receive the funding for the signing due to just far too many applications on a statewide basis. But we thought we would try again, as part of the application process, I would need to attach a resolution of support from the county board. This does not commit any funds to this at this time. Any funding that would be associated with this project would go through our budget approval process that will be occurring in the, during the course of this year. So the only thing this resolution does is supports the concept of the project and supports us submitting an application to the Wisconsin Department of Transportation for their consideration. This, like I said, this was done previously. There was a similar resolution approved by the county board 2 years ago. We're gonna try again, and hopefully this time we'll be a little more successful. This does include not only the county but all the municipalities within the county, also all the cities, villages, towns. That's the thing about these bike routes, is it doesn't do any good to have a little tiny segment of bike route. It's got to be continuous and comprehensive, and that's what this plan would address.
So, to the committee, this is a very common to be able to apply for a grant. Most grants, first, there needs to be a resolution by the county board, or at least the committee. This is by the county board. So, we just received a Parklands grant that we applied for previously, did not get. Reapplied, did get this time.
We've been very fortunate. We have very good grant writers, and we have impressive people here. But as Gary said, this does not mean we're spending any money at all at this point. This is giving Gary permission to apply for the grant. If there's any questions, yes.
So, I mean, I know that we're not committing any money right now, but how expensive would the project be, you know, to do?
Yeah, we're probably looking at about $60,000. It's a rough estimate, but there needs to be a considerable amount of planning and engineering done before we could come up with the final number. But that would become available during our budget review process as we move forward for 2017. We'll have more firm numbers on that.
Any other questions or discussion? Anyone would like to make a motion? It has been moved by Supervisor Franco to move the resolution. Do I have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Supervisor Wambold. Silent D. No discussion. Either governance.
Aye.
Committee.
Aye.
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 The motion carries.
I just have a couple things to report. We've had this ongoing project this year replacing our fuel system here at the Kenosha County Center. We have a unleaded and diesel fuel system out in here for use by primarily highways, but any of the divisions in the Sheriff's Department, of course, uses it also. That's being replaced. That project's moving forward in the design aspect. We're looking at hopefully an October completion date. One interesting thing that we are going to do, we've decided to include, is a water quality, stormwater quality improvement project with this, and we're actually going to utilize the existing fuel tanks out there to serve as settling ponds for sediments before the stormwater's released out into Highway 50. Reason that's so important is not only the benefit of having clean water, but we are required by the DNR to meet certain criteria of a Department of Public Works stormwater discharge, and this is going to play a very big part in doing that. So, plus it saves a considerable amount of cost in excavating out the existing fuel tanks and filling that area in. So it's kind of a win-win situation for us. And so we're moving forward with that. I mentioned earlier that we do maintenance projects for the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, and I just have been working with them recently, and it looks like there's going to be four additional maintenance projects that we're going to be doing for them. Crack sealing on some of the asphalt roads, shouldering, asphalt paving, and some ditching. The value of those projects is in around $700,000. So that that's a considerable amount of additional revenue that looks like we're going to be able to generate this year. So that's really good news from a budgetary standpoint for us. The only bad thing is it pretty much maxes us out for projects. I don't think we're going to be able to take on very much additional work besides that, but it's a good thing. A lot of good improvements are done on the state highways. We generate a lot of additional revenue, so we're going to certainly move forward with that, those projects. And then just lastly, I know Ray had mentioned earlier, and the county exec mentioned at his talk at the county board a couple weeks ago about my retirement, and I am retiring this year, and I've given the county executive notice that I will be working until December, though, so probably mid to late December will be my final retirement date. I've been working here 37 years, and I'm really comfortable with Clement being on board. He's really got a great technical background, but because he's a professional engineer, but he also has the type of personality that I think is going to work very well for you. He understands public service and working with people, and I'm really glad he's here, and we'll be working together until December then.
Hey, Gary. And depending on how much salt we have left in December, maybe that'll party for you.
Oh, we'll have salt. We're busting at the seams.
Just, Gary, coming back on the committee, what are we doing for Miles paving this year?
We just opened bids on our a material. For those of you who might not be aware, we do our own asphalt paving on both the county trunk highway system and then anyone else that asks us within the county. Probably about 13 miles. We originally were projecting about 11 this year, but the cost of the asphalt actually came down about 5%. So it was a good thing, and it will. It looks like we're going to get back up into that target area of 13 miles.
Good. Even next year, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Anything else for Gary? Thank you, Gary. And Matthew.
Mr. Chairman, first thing you have before you is a resolution. For you, it might seem like Groundhog Day because we did this only a few months ago. Yeah, we do it every year, but this one's a secondary time because after the fact, we had been approached by one of the Club Trails twin runners that would also like to bring their section of the trail that is already maintained and is part of the 76.9 miles of snowmobile trail within Kenosha County, but they're looking at seeking state funding for their trail. So since that wasn't part of the original resolution, we have to bring before you an additional resolution to include the Twin Runners with a 13.5 miles of trail to be funded through the state this year. So as Gary said before, a lot of these trail aids and grants that we go for, the state requires these resolutions. So this will be an additional one that we need in order to try to acquire funding, and the county just acts as a pass-through, so it's all reimbursed 100% through the state.
We do this every year, and the funding is through the registration and through the trail passes that the zone does. It's all self-funded, but the state will not give the money directly to a snowmobile club. So we apply. We just did this, but now we're doing it for the extra 13 miles. We could have a motion to approve that.
Okay.
Motion by Supervisor Gilmore, second by Supervisor O'Day. Any discussion? You the governance?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Motion carries. Resolution carries.
All right. Then for the division status report. For anyone that's read the local paper, we've been undergoing the emerald ash tree removal over the winter season. So we have a few things to finalize as far as that project goes. And the first portion is just that we have a few logs remaining. We had over 4,000 trees removed over the winter season in three of our parks. So we have logs remaining, just a few, a couple handfuls, and discrete locations over at Petrifying Springs and Fox River Park. As far as brush removal goes, over the last month, we had the brush removed over at Petrifying Springs Park, so that's completely removed. And we just have brush piles remaining over at Fox River Park, and received a phone call today and anticipated that that'll be removed by Thursday. So that's a good thing. We're on to the next step with all those trees being knocked down. We need to take care of the stumps. So we've been, we went out to bid this last month to grind over 500 stumps through Pets Park and Fox River Park. And we are actually meeting with one of the people that we're hoping to award the bid with tomorrow. So hopefully we'll have some more information for you guys next month. And then a lot of the cleanup efforts has been ongoing since this project started, and our staff is still out there day in and day out working on our cleanup efforts. A lot of our open spaces is looking really nice, so we're just kind of working on the tree lining areas for this project. The next thing we have is Kemper Coastal Management Plan. Last December, we had a northeastern storm that came and hit our shoreline over at Kemper Center. And it's almost an annual thing with the amount of rocks that get pushed along the shoreline and actually in our grass areas along our pathway. And it actually ripped up part of our multi-use trail that sits right alongside the Kemper Center. So we are going to be working with Baird Marine Specialists, and they've been selected to study and develop and assess the conceptual solutions for hopefully looking at long-term solutions to hopefully make sure that this doesn't happen on an annual basis with those storms that come through. The next project that we have is within Petrifying Springs Park. We have the Pipe River Bank Stabilization and Restoration. We actually received a grant from Fund for Lake Michigan to engineer and study and design for strengthening the Pipe River along that shoreline. We have a lot of erosion problems that happens throughout that park, and it would be great that we could get an engineering study to look at, again, long-term solutions along that river. And the third project to report is KD Park, an additional grant that we received from the DNR stewardship. And we have been awarded that grant to start the hardscaping and actually hopefully paving this year. So we're actually starting that project currently with the engineering phase to complete that roadway and parking lots that goes through KD Park. So that's been a long time coming, so we're really happy that the project's finally moving forward. We're hoping that that project is complete by November of this year. And then finally, online reservation system. I think that our Parks division really is a premier division now that we're able to have an online reservation system, so people don't have to call in for reservations for the pavilions that we rent out, that they can go online at their convenience at 1 o'clock in the morning if you really wanted to and reserve our pavilions. And so people really don't have to wait for our public for the public to have our office hours from Monday to Friday from 7 to 3:30. They can go whenever it's convenient, and it's first come, first serve. Another bonus is that they can use a credit card, so that was a new option that's finally available to the public. And unfortunately, I get every email confirmation that comes through with the reservations, but it's kind of cool at the same time that you can see when people are actually booking this. And like I said, they're booking at all evening hours and weekends, so it really is a benefit to the public that they can just go in there without worrying about when our office hours are. So we just got that back up and running, and it's a huge benefit to our public. And then I think the last thing I had on there was a Pringle financial statements and naturalist reports for you guys to read. That's all I had.
For those of you also, again, that are new here, Pringle Nature Center is operated out of our Bristol Woods County Park. And they report to this committee financials quarterly. We also hold at least one of our meetings out there. And they, you know, it's totally on their dollar. We are naturally responsible for the property. They do the upkeep on the building.
anyone would like to, if people aren't familiar, you know, I held a memorial to a man that had donated heavily to the county park system, and we named a street after him out in Fox River Park. The county board chairman at the time didn't even know where Fox River Park was. So when he came out, he had to get directions. So, it would not be out of the ordinary, and I wouldn't be surprised if some of you didn't know where some of our parks are or what we have. And we do have staff that, I mean, you couldn't say, okay, I want a Friday, I want a tour, but we'll be willing to work with you if you would like to take tours. We do it for the facility. There's times that it could be set up, and definitely be willing, so that everybody has knowledge. Now, we'll have a meeting out at Bristol Woods. I'm assuming that many of you have been at Kemper, but the KD Park, probably some of you don't even know where that is. Fox River Park, Silver Lake Park, so it's worth a phone call to myself or Ray, and something could be set up, you know, where you could see it. Matt?
And speaking of, next month's meeting will be at the Pringle Nature Center for the Public Works Committee meeting.
Yep. Okay. So that is off of Highway C and B. Okay, well, Matt, any questions for Matt? We'll move on to Dan.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. In golf operations, we're working through our 2016 business plan. Currently, we have over 20,000 people in our email database, so we're sending out weekly emails to promote our events and the golf courses. The wet, cool spring hasn't helped, especially April was a little bit of a tough season for us, but now we're into May, so it's sunny and 70 until December or so. But we remain committed to promoting our courses and the events. So we had a Tour Edge demo day on April 23rd, and we sold about $2,000 worth of equipment. And we got a Cobra demo day coming up in June. I don't have the exact date set on that one yet, where all the people can come out and try those new products. Our spring scramble is set for May 7th. It's a four-person 18-hole scramble, and we give away season passes for the four winners of that, so that's well attended, and it's a good event for us. And then we're trying a new event on Friday the 13th. We're going to have a senior scramble. So we're going to have a four-person scramble and give away some senior passes for the season at that event. All the remaining leagues that we had from last year have been signed up again, and we added four additional leagues. This year we really combed our tee sheets. We sent out a notice to all of our leagues from last year and requested that they have at least 16 players. It did have a couple leagues that fell apart over at Petrifying Springs, but we got three new ones there and one new one at Brightondale by doing that. So we were able to gain four new leagues just by, you know, sending out that notification. And that's really found money for us because, you know, we have been, you know, considered full until, you know, this idea came up and one of my staff members put it together and really worked out well. So this will be our second year of the Caddy and Leadership Academy. We had our board meeting on Friday. It's a very exciting program. We're the only public facility in the nation that has a funded Caddy program. So there is one other facility out in Colorado that does this, but besides that, that's a PGA-owned facility out in Colorado. We're the only publicly owned facility that actually funds a caddy program. It's a Grow the Game initiative, and what we're really trying to do is get disadvantaged youth, 14, 15-year-olds, into the game. We are paying them an educational grant for their services. It's an eight-week program. We'll have 20 to 25 caddies in that program, and they have to do community service a couple hours a month. They have to do education a couple hours a week, and then they have to do four loops, four rounds, And so this is a new program that we put in last year, and the board is really looking at expanding to possibly 30 different cities across the nation, and with us being number one. So it's
where do you locate the kids?
They stay in the overflow restaurant room right behind.
No, I mean, where the ones that come to play or to be a part of this program, I mean, to get them from the Boys and Girls Club,
they're recruited. Actually, what they did this year was they went to the guidance counselors of the schools, and they put on a program, and then they were recommended by the guidance counselors. We're trying to get some Evans scholarships for these kids, where it's a free ride, you know, for 4 years at Madison, Northwestern, some really, you know, high-end universities, and you know, there's a financial aspect of it that they have to be from a needy family. There's a educational aspect where they have to have a good enough grades, and then there's this they have to do a certain amount of loops, and then they go to the Evans Scholarship Program. And what we're really trying to do is develop some caddies for maybe some of the local golf courses like Kenosha Country Club, Racine Country Club, those other facilities that employ caddies.
I just wanted to clarify one thing, Dan, that the academy is who pays for the kids' salaries. There's no
nothing from
golf
the
operations money that's involved.
Right. It's all financially funded from PGA, the USGA, the Wisconsin State Golf Association, the Western Golf Association. So, and now they're trying to possibly get a named partner in each community to grow that program. So, next, we're working with Lee Enterprises, a local company, and we're doing digital marketing. This is their second year for this. Again, the program includes broad-based regional email blast to about 50,000 people. It includes targeted geofencing so that we can narrow it down at a two-block radius, and we can have ads, you know, pop up on your phone, or if you're on your phone or something like that. And then it also has YouTube marketing or retargeting marketing, where if you've ever went to a golf course or Brightondale's website and you're now looking for a tractor, it might come up on the side of your computer saying, you know, you were here at Brightondale, you maybe you want to come back. So it's really an effective program. It worked well last year, so we're redoing that again this year. We've received outstanding comments on the golf courses so far this year. I mean, the conditions of the greens and the fairways, you know, are just phenomenal. We had our architect come out, and we're talking about some bunker restoration, and with the irrigation project that we're doing on the Blue Spruce, we had to have him come and make sure that none of the future work that we're planning on doing in the master plan was going to be affected by the current irrigation. And we did some reshaping of some of the fairways, and just looks outstanding out there. And there's so many of our guests that are realizing it, and it makes our job a lot easier when people are constantly coming up and complimenting our facilities. So the sand traps definitely are the biggest negative that we have. And what we're doing right now is we're targeting certain amount of bunkers to remove, and the bunkers are the second most expensive feature on the golf course to maintain. So we're looking at, we got about 140 bunkers at Brightondale. We'd like to get down to about 90, you know, so we're looking at bunkers that we can remove. So projects that we're in process or that we're starting are, as Matt said, the ash tree removal. It's ongoing. Basically, at Petrifying Springs, they're raking the whole golf course by hand, edge to edge. You know, so it was those ash trees, when they become dead from that bug, they go over, they just explode, and the branches just go all over the place. So, you know, there's a lot of hand raking going on at both golf courses, but also the stumping. We purchased a tool cab with a stump grinder this year. And so we've made a great dent at Petrifying Springs, and now we're over at Brightondale trying to finish up all the stumps that we have there. So that process is very labor intensive. We just finished up with the deep well project. We got a new well. It's 1,818 feet deep. The well was existing, but we had to put a new pump in it. pump was original since 1968. It was rebuilt twice, I think, but it finally gave out, and so we had to put a new submersible pump about 530 feet down. So just wrapping up with that, and then we mentioned the Blue Spruce Irrigation. Our Midwest Irrigation Company is a very good company to work with, and they're working diligently, but with the wet weather, we're about 12 days behind, so we're looking at almost June 17th, hopefully, by the time that that project gets done. And then we'll be doing some paving at Petrifying Springs with the Highway Division. They'll be doing the whole road through the maintenance shop and their maintenance yard and the front entrance, so looking forward to getting that done. And we did have to purchase some equipment and golf cars. We purchased 65 new golf cars and 88 new utility vehicles. So we'll have 144 golf cars at Brightdale and 64 at Petrifying Springs. That's what we have going in golf.
Thank you, Dan. We'll hope for some better weather.
Thank you. I'll do a sun dance.
Yeah. Mike, facilities.
All right, I work from basically two lists. One is an energy reduction spreadsheet, which everybody should have. And then I have another list that deals with projects not related to energy reduction. I'll do that first list first. At the safety building, we're replacing the fire alarm panel there. It is also obsolete, just like the courthouse. There's no code to upgrade, so it's basically a fire panel replacement. Makes it a very simple project. We've been working on it for about 2 months, actually, because the contractor's there on and off. So he's back this week for 2 days of work, and then that project will be done. So next time you hear about that, that'll be a completion next time. Second project is at KCDC. They have two courtyards that are open air, and between them spans an I-beam that goes through masonry block. And when it was installed, the contractor actually welded both ends to the I-beam, so there's no give one way or the other. So what happens with expansion and contraction, blowing out the masonry block. This is where the prisoners are working out and everything, so we have debris falling down on them. So this project basically allows a contractor to go in and open up one end of the I-beam, cut the weld, and then fix the block. There's three different areas that this is done in. Contractor started last week on Thursday. It should last about a month, so I'll be keeping you up to date on that. Now the spreadsheet one, energy reduction project list we call it, has been going on for about 2 years. A lot of people put a lot of hours into it. Ray has, Frank has, Jim has, the building chiefs have, myself. And it's pretty much, it comprises of a big list of projects that are recommended by two guys from We Energies, the Focus on Energy team. They assist us in looking for projects to save money with energy. That can be from lighting improvements to LED, could be replacing boilers, air handlers, air conditioners, on and on, hot water heating systems. We've done quite a bit of them in the last 2 years, and if you look at the spreadsheet, you see there's a list on top, which is ongoing, and then the list on the bottom is complete. A lot of the projects on the complete list are HVAC related, and we did those in the last year and kind of knocked those out. Some of the projects on the top list that are still on there have been kind of ramping up. They're going to get going pretty soon here. They're the LED projects. And basically, we're just doing the exteriors at each facility and just converting all the existing lights to LEDs. The part with the We Energy guys is they come in and they'll do an assessment at the facility. They'll recommend projects and they'll say, you know, this certain project will have a certain payback. A lot of those projects with LEDs are 2 to 3 years and you have payback and a good energy reduction. A few of the projects on there are, you know, with the HVAC are out of necessity. Some equipment's at the end of its life, so it's kind of a benefit we have to do that, and then we get an incentive back on that also. So this list gives you a lot of information. So kind of look it over, and if you have questions, and I'll be happy to answer it. There's a few projects on there that, you know, we've gained some experience internally to just go out and find ourselves without their help at different facilities we haven't assessed yet. So we put them on there and actually completed some of them. So a little bit of the payback data and that is not there, but they're projects out of necessity because of family life. So this list doesn't have a lot going right now. If you look at it, the things in red, those are the changes from the last meeting. So on top, we've got install occupancy sensors in offices and conference rooms, and that's at KCDC. That was one of the recommendations by the professional engineer. We've made a concerted effort to use Cree lighting products for LED. We took a tour there. We kind of settled on their product. We think it's superior than everybody else's. They're local. They offer a 10-year warranty, so our LED lighting goes that direction. That project actually becomes obsolete now because we don't need occupancy sensors in the rooms anymore, because as soon as we switch the LED lighting and the fixtures, they're all going to be smart fixtures. I don't know if anybody's heard of those yet, but basically they have sensors in them to turn on and off all by themselves. So there's no point in doing a project like that and then switching over in a couple of years to fixtures internally. Another project in red, the only other one, is at the courthouse, upgrade the main hallways to LED lighting. We started that beginning of March. We converted a bunch of the chandeliers over to LED lighting, increasing lumen at the same time. We had a project made on there that we thought we'd be done a month ago, but that's kind of fill-in work for our electrician. So I'm moving that date out one more month. Then we have project cost updates and incentives that I just got back from a report from Focus on Energy guys. So if you look at that one, project cost is $1,815. We got $445 back just from incentives. So it's a fun project list to work on.
When you pick a project, do you look at the payback? And is there some you may say no to because the payback time is too far?
That's part of the criteria. We try and get the ones that are, 8 years or less, and the ones that, are closer to 1 or 2 years are the ones we grab right away.
Oh,
but
sure.
There's two other factors. Some of this equipment has end of life, and it's got to be done, so it's a big bonus. And then some of it, too, like LED lights, there's a big maintenance factor that we can save. We have regular light bulbs burning out all the time to go to LEDs. There's no more light bulbs to change. So far out, so it saves us on three fronts there. That's why this is fun for us.
Anything else, Mike?
No, that's it.
Thank you, Mr. Harvard.
Okay, we'll start with an update on Brookside. Most of you are probably aware we had the official groundbreaking on April 12th, and then the site work really began probably the day before. All the tree removal, if you haven't had a chance to stop out at Brookside, I know Supervisor O'Day was telling me just before the meeting, he was out there, and it's pretty amazing what they've accomplished in 2-3 weeks' time. Any of the trees that needed to be removed for the project have been removed. A temporary parking lot's been constructed for the employees on site. Gas main relocation, that has been completed. Water main relocation, because they were all in the path of where the new construction is going to take place. That'll be complete, should be done this Thursday. They were going to start to pour footings on Friday, but it looks like based on weather and a couple of things that came into play, they're going to start tomorrow, but they're literally going to start pouring footings, 3 weeks after they started the project. That's pretty impressive for a project this size. They're projecting at this point that prefabricated wall panel placement, because very little of this stuff's going to be constructed on site. It's all going to be prefabbed off-site, factory built. It's going to be in early June. So unless the weather really plays havoc here, that should be a date that we can hit. The big concern is always in a project like this is soils condition. And the soils, right now we've gone through enough to know that it doesn't appear we're going to have any major problems. There's going to be some stuff that we're going to have to remediate, but it doesn't appear it's going to be anything major. So I think we're over the hump as far as soils. By next meeting, we'll know for sure. That's pretty much it at Brookside. It's just moving very, very well right now. Department report, just a few things. Ongoing session training for Matt and John and Gary and Clement has been working really well, as these guys kind of attested to. We've got leadership and supervisory development training program, phase two, that's going on right now, as I mentioned earlier. We're working on a formal lean training program. If most of you who work in the private sector have heard of lean, there is a number of consultants that have been working now and adapting those principles for public sector type applications. And the bottom line, it's all designed to remove non-value-added activity from whatever activity it is. If you're running a highway department, healthcare facility, of whatever, you can adapt the principles to whatever facility it is you've got. And we're going to be doing joint training with Brookside. We're probably going to have a Public Works and Brookside joint kind of a set of projects identified. By the end of May, we should have a syllabus and schedule set up for that activity. So I'm excited about that. That's going to be a kind of a radical thing. I don't think there's anybody in nearby area doing anything like this in the public sector. And then there's a kind of an interesting thing. A Spring Fling event is being sponsored by Frank Carmichael. Most of you probably know him. He's a local community promoter, businessman guy. It'll be a carnival-like event scheduled to take place May 12th through the 15th in the Kenosha County Job Center parking lot. So basically, they're going to use our parking lot in the evenings and over the weekend. Will not operate during the Job Center's business hours. County executives supported the event because this type of activity doesn't exist at this time of year, this early in the season. Thought it would be a good thing to do. And a portion of the proceeds are going to be donated to local charities. So that's going to be coming up the 12th through the 15th. And then a couple other housekeeping things. This Saturday, I think most folks are aware, there's going to be hazardous household waste pickup here and e-waste pickup. I think we're going to do it in the back lot over here again. That'll be from 8 to 1 p.m. this Saturday. And then we wanted to ask, too, because we don't want to be redundant, if there's folks that prefer to get everything electronically, we'll do that. If there's other folks that prefer to get their agendas and packets and things hard copy, we'll do that. But we didn't want to waste anything that didn't need to be wasted. So if some folks prefer to get it all electronic, we'll do that. If you could just let Wendy know what your preference is, then she'll do that accordingly. That's it for my end, Mr. Chairman.
Any questions for Ray?
Oh, the bike to the thing that got added kind of at the last second, National Bike to Work Week. It came before the board and then it got referred back to the committee.
Right.
So, Gary, I don't know if you know anything about it. I don't think any of us really know about it, but it's kind of just a...
We need to pass it tonight.
Yes, because it's got to go to the... And was there a copy? There probably wasn't a copy because we didn't get it until after.
Supervisor Blau came out with the resolution, and it is just honoring the Bike to Work Week, National Bike to Work Week, which, and they get out, but it's May 16th to the 20th, so we'd like to do this evening. There's no cost, there's nothing. It's talking about taking a bike to work has multiple potential benefits and improvement in engine. So it's a very nice feel-good resolution. It's from one of our supervisors that is very involved in the biking community. So could I get a motion to approve this?
So moved.
Moved by Supervisor Franco.
Second.
Second by Supervisor Wendell. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
You the governor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. So now we need to sign this. So I'll send it back down that way. Any other business or questions from anyone? If not, a motion to adjourn, please.
Second.
Move a second to adjourn. Supervisor Gilmore. Supervisor O'Day, all of the favor?
Aye.
Thank you all very much.